Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stayed with me, and I'm here.
And a beautiful morning to you. You are highly welcome to another exciting edition of the Everyday Muslim Show. Everyday Muslim Show is brought to you by MPAC, the Muslim Public Affairs Center, and Women Radio WFM 91.7, a voice for women and their families. I am Sakina Titilayo Okono. With me in the studio co-hosting is
Amina Adams. It's good to be here. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I trust that you're having a beautiful Saturday morning.
Today, we'll be addressing the topic, extremism in religion. Let's take a message from a beautiful nasheed from Mahazain for the rest of my life.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stay with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I stay by your side, honest and true, to the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Now and forever, I'll be there for you. Deep in my heart.
You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're right on time. It is Everyday Muslim here on WFM 91.7. Like my colleague did say, we're looking at extremism. We do have a guest, inshallah, that I'll be talking on it, but let me just set the tone for our discussion this morning. Islamic extremism emphasizes the differences between extremist Muslims and everyone else. Non-Muslims and other Muslims are viewed as wrong, lesser, impure, and stripped of human qualities and rights. The Islamist extremists are usually weak, a predetermined ambition that, and they impose this ambition on the others, their views, their ideologies, and their truths on the general populace. And I'm sure an example comes to mind readily here in Nigeria. You're thinking Boko Haram, and you're absolutely right. On the other hand, radical terrorism refers to terrorist acts with religious motivations carried out by fundamentalist, militant, religious extremists. Incidents and fatalities from Islamic terrorism have been concentrated in 8 Muslim-majority countries. We have Afghanistan, Egypt, Iraq, Libya, Nigeria. We have Pakistan, Somalia, and Syria, with 4 Islamic extremist groups. Some of you call it Islamic states, Boko Haram, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and the list is endless, right? Since the 90s, these terrorist incidents have occurred on a global scale, affecting not only the Muslim majority countries in Africa and Asia, but also countries such as Australia, Canada, the US, and lots more. And some of the countries within Europe as well have felt their heat. Such attacks have targeted both Muslims and non-Muslims. One of our studies finding 80% of those who suffer from these acts who are the victims of terrorism happens to be Muslims, believe it or not. SubhanAllah, I mean, think about Boko Haram and who's the worst hit. I mean, it's happening in the north. We know the north is predominantly Muslims, right? And it's happening right, you know, in their domain. And so who's suffering the most? The Muslims. And that's just, you know, being very treated by that finding. Justifications given for these attacks on civilians by these Islamic extremist groups come from their exploitations and misinterpretation or even misrepresentation of certain Quran verses, the Hadith, the Sharia law, backed by the group's ideology. So with that, tone set, I'm sure you understand where we're going to be delving into, and I trust you're burning to dial the number. Just calm down first. You'll call in, you'll be a part of the show, inshallah, when the time is right, when our scholar talks to us and, you know, shed some light about this extremism. Why does it even exist? All these ideologies, who, where does it come from? Before then, we're going to cut off the day. However, let's take a quick break. When we come back from this break, inshallah ta'ala, we have so much stored up for you.
Praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I stay by your side, honest and true, till the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. In my heart, I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. There's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true, till the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Deep in my heart.
We are still on Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio WFM 91.7. Today's quote of the day is from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Beware of extremism, for indeed extremism destroyed those before you. This quote is educating us on the dangers or consequences of extremism. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prohibited us in this hadith from extremism in religion, which is exceeding the limit in it, so as not to be destroyed as the previous nations were destroyed when they went to extremes in their religion and exceeded the limit in their acts of worship.
Alhamdulillah, I mean, if you're just joining us, you heard the quote of the day. We've shared with you our background to this. It's about this extremism. You know, it's actually a, what's the word? It doesn't make any sense for extremism and Islam to operate in the same sentence. That phrase is the worst injustice done to the religion of Islam. However, it's not my place to explain to you what this is. We have our ustaz right here. He will be the one enlightening us. I hope you have your pens and papers ready because he's going to tutor us. I tell you for free. Sheikh. you won't believe me, don't worry, you'll when you hear him speak, you'll understand that he'll carry you to where you don't know. That's what Sheikh does best. Right, we have joining us this morning, Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba. He's a Muslim cleric. He's an imam in Adangba Central Mosque in Idimu, Alimosha Local Government area of Lagos State. He is a marriage counselor and public analyst on TV and radio. He's a publicity ambassador with the HWPL, Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Africa. South Imam, Korea. South Korea, I beg your pardon, of course. South Korea. Imam Adangba is a teacher, father, husband, mentor, and many more. He's the founder of an Islamic institution center in Idimu, where Quran and Islamic legislation is being taught in its adequate form. Just to mention a few, because if we go ahead with the rest of his profile, we'll be here the rest of this hour. Right, so Imam, you're welcome, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for having me, Lou.
It's a pleasure, sir. Right, let's just...
And I will say you are going to pay because you said I'm going to do it for free.
No, I mean, drawing from a wealth of knowledge, Imam, it's subhanAllah. Let's get started with this. According to the UNDP, Administrator Atim Steiner, sub-Saharan Africa has become the new global epicenter of violent extremism, with 48% of global terrorism deaths in 2021. This surge not only adversely impacts lives, security and peace, but also threatens to reverse hard-won development gains for generations to come. What are the factors that lead to this extremism?
Before everything, we should give thanks to Allah and adorations to Him for having spared our life to witness this day and for having allowed us to follow the tenets of Islamic religion, which the beginning of it and the end is knowledge.
No.
So, you see, may Allah in His infinite mercies bless Prophet Muhammad who has been the light upon light that came to teach us how do we endure ourselves and how do we forge on the surface of the earth to earn our Jannah at the end. Not going to the right too much or not going to the left too much, but being in a moderate middle. Person in the middle.
Yeah.
And this is what Quran has come to teach. You see, when we go by the word extremism, we have different words too that explain the same extremism in different perspectives.
Right.
You see, when you say extremism cut across all phases of life. It is in social, it is in beliefs, it is in politics, it is in education, it is in everything.
Right.
But what we are trying to say here is we are going to discuss extremism vis-a-vis religion. So that means when we are talking about religion, religion is about perception. You understand?
Yes, sir.
The religion is about perception. You can't say I'm the best. You can't say he is the best or she is the best. You are going to stay on your lane when it comes to religion. So you are going to consider in this what is known as radicalism.
Mm.
You must consider radicalism. You must consider terrorism. Because you see, our pressmen, they use the word
interchangeably, like they mean the
they
same.
They are not the same thing. They are virtually not the same thing.
Absolutely.
Extremism is you overdo.
Mm.
You overdo. Sometimes extremism could be referred as you underdoing something.
Mm.
So when you say exit, exit sometimes is positive, sometimes it's negative. So radicalism is the in between extremism and terrorism. So when you radicalize somebody, then the person goes to the extreme in behavior,
in negativity. Right.
So this is what we have. Extremism is an act of you negatively exceeding the limits set by a principle.
Okay.
Understand that.
Right.
A principle.
Right.
So there are principles, but there are golden principles. So Islam is a religion of fundamentals. So anybody who is a Muslim is a fundamentalist.
Sure.
A Muslim is a
fundamentalist.
You can't come
because you
and
have principle.
Change the principle.
Sure.
So discipline towards the principle is what you need. So when you now exit those principles in a negative way to radicalize some people in order to impact a negative instance on the others, it is called extremism.
Right.
So now you now come back to say, what are the golden principles that Islam has set aside for us?
Yeah.
There are many, and the Quran has ascertained in so many verses that he is not here to please anybody on us, on any human being.
No.
So you should understand that word. Quran, Islam is not to please anybody on you. Who owns Quran? Who owns Islam? Allah.
Allah. Who owns you?
Who owns you? So he doesn't want to place anybody on you. So the imam that is going to radicalize people to come and become extremist must understand that Allah does not belong to anyone particularly. Allah belongs to everybody. So if Allah belongs to everybody, Islam belongs to everybody. If Islam belongs to everybody, the Quran belongs to everybody. So he has even stated it in the Quran. I think it's chapter 20, verse 114 now, that you can only fear Allah. You can only exhibit your piety towards what strength you have, which you call ability. So my piety can be 70%, yours can be 50%, some other piety can be 1%.
Absolutely.
And even if somebody is pious in 1%, that person must not be said to be a kafir. Avicenna, one of the four writers of Islamic theology, says if a person has a 1% of Islam and he has 99% of kufr, that person is still more a Muslim than kafir.
Subhanallah.
It's more a Muslim than kafir. So you cannot call him a kafir. And you're going by what the Holy Prophet Muhammad said. He says, man kala li akhihi ya kafir, if you tell your brother or sister you are a kafir, faqad ba'a alayhi adhima kufur, you are, he either becomes a kafir or you become a kafir on the day of judgment if that kufran is not found anywhere in that person. So you that calls him or her a kafir becomes a kafir.
Subhanallah. So one needs to be careful.
You need to be careful.
Dishing out this.
Then an imam should exercise knowledge and understanding. There are two different things. There is knowledge, there is the understanding of knowledge, and there is science of understanding of knowledge.
Right.
So if you understand, if there is a knowledge and you know there is understanding of knowledge, then there is science understanding of knowledge, you should now sit down and think, what are the science of understanding of knowledge? So one thing you must know is that is this thing logical? Are you getting it?
Mm.
Is it logical? When you place it in the mizan, we call the measure of wisdom and intelligence. Is it logical? Will it fit in? That's number one. Number two, if it is logical, is it natural? So some people will come to say, oh, it's not natural. Oh, it is natural. If something is not logical, it's not natural, then it won't be scientific. And if it is not natural, it's not logical, it's not natural, it's not going to be godly.
Very true, because if it's not natural, if
it's not going to be godly. So, where is God in individuals? Islam has come to take up every individual the way they must observe their God, which comes back to the golden principles.
Right. Well, Imam, sorry to cut in. So, you know, most of the times when we find this extremism, it's somebody that is driving it. There's usually somebody at the helm of affairs. And one of the fundamental aims of this religious extremist, or fanatics as we say, is to achieve and maintain both theological and social control over others, right?
No, yeah, that's where I'm coming. That's where I wanted to land it. You see, you can be a Muslim and still be a terrorist in your religion. On people within the same confines of that religion. How? If that word oppression is in your senses, your desire, your thoughts, your ideology, then you are a terrorist, an extremist terrorist in Islam. In Islam, you must not ask for rulership.
You don't demand it.
You don't even demand leadership. You must be picked to be a leader. By the traits of what you have shown to people within your same community.
In fact, Imam, so I think that's already a yardstick you're sharing. So if there's any leader that has imposed himself on you, that's a, you know.
So how do they now impose? They impose, when I say knowledge and understanding and the science of understanding,
right.
It means not every knowledgeable person understands the science of being knowledgeable.
True.
You understand?
True.
So, as the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sayyid al-Qawmi, the leader of a nation, Khadimuhum should be their servants. So if you are oppressing them by telling them that this road is the only road, there is no other road except this road, who tells you that you are the most correct person? The Quran says, Ijal amruhum shura bainahum. Let interaction be of dialogue amongst them. So when Sayyidina Umar, that's the second caliph now, said one thing in an hadith that is related to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but because the narrators were not straight, but that word is, let's say it's part of his own wisdom. He said, "Iza salla ahadukum minnas," when any one of you is leading people in salat,
right.
"Fal yuhaffif," be mild, be moderate. It's like somebody now asking myself, there are weak ones amongst them, there are strong ones amongst them, there are old ones amongst them, there are young ones amongst them, there are sick ones amongst them.
Sure.
So don't go and start reading Surah Al-Baqarah as the chapter. So be moderate. So that if you are moderate, everybody will be carried along.
Sure.
So whenever you see a leader that says, "If you don't follow my path, then you are not having any path," he's not a leader, he's a ruler. And such people are the extreme ones. So it will eventually turn out to be that they are oppressing those who are following them, and that is abhorred by Islam. So you can get that now.
Absolutely.
So the being an imam, there's a principle in Islam all over in fiqh, the science of jurisprudence. It says, "Kullu imamin yukhaz minhu wa yuraddu alayhi." Every imam, there is a tendency of taking what he said, he says, or you refuse what he says.
Okay.
So he is not the he's not the alpha and omega. So when he says something and people see it is not logical, we are only seeing it from our own perception because we are looking one way. Some other people are looking the other way. So if you say it in one way and it's not correct, some people can tell you it is. So every imam must be like Imam Malik. Imam Malik was questioned 70 times, but he could only answer 3. And when he was asked, he said, "I'm not the most learned." And that's why the Wallahu A'lam always follow every fatwa in Islam.
Wallahu A'lam meaning?
Meaning Allah knows best.
Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. I mean, I know Sakina is itchy to ask you questions. Right.
We are still on the Everyday Muslim Show by MPAC and Women Radio on WFM 91.7. The number to call is 07000917917. For SMS or WhatsApp, we have 07031756537. If you want to be a part of this program, please call in.
Okay, so let me help you ask the questions that are, for me, I mean, because I noticed that most of the people that tend to have the energy to follow hook, line, sinker are the youth. Right. So what are the early warning signs of extremism in religion, and what safeguards are available for the youth, especially who may both be vulnerable and impressionable, to be on their alert? So what do they look out for? What, like a template that they should use to check? Because we, you know, these youth, they have the energy.
The template is a tough word.
Hmm.
Knowledge.
Hmm.
The template was given and is still in force to humanity. Humanity and knowledge is the only way out of extremism.
Okay.
You see, it is very pathetic and it's saddening to say that somebody who wants to lead does not know the traits of leadership, doesn't understand the traits of leadership. The youth are very, very energetic.
Sure.
They have the strength. They want to follow. They don't know. They want to know.
Mm.
But anybody giving them a wrong notion of an exegesis of the Quran or the explanations of the Hadith or the Ijma in its form, the way it should come, knows really well that he's trying to take those people down back to him so that they should follow him. The second hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad now comes in that innamal a'malu
binniyat,
definitely all intentions will be judged, all
actions
will
be judged
according to the intention. So, but the youth that wants to lead tomorrow should not be disconnected. This is where the problem is. How do you get disconnected? As a youth and as a parent, when your child is growing, make sure you tell the child, I want you to look like so and so person.
Okay, so you have put that
in his mind and in his mindset.
You've imprinted, this is your mentor, this is how you mold yourself.
This is how a model is.
Mm.
Then that model should be a monitor. That model and monitor should be a mentor.
Mm.
And when you have those three traits, then you have the moderator in that person, and you have the multiplying effect in that person.
Mm.
So anybody who is not an hayuli, you know what they call hayuli?
I'm a student.
That is the greatest ideal.
Mm.
And Hayuli, the Holy Prophet Muhammad is the first Hayuli. And is the only model that if you copy him, you are not going to go astray.
True.
Allah said in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said, وَلَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. So there is a reason why there are exemplary traits in the Holy Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam
for anybody that does not want to be an extremist. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. Somebody who moderately wants Allah. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And the after effect of his deed. So some people will say, يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ the day of Qiyamah. Yes, it could be. But the after effect of your deed, if you don't want to regret, you should follow the Holy Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So that model, Prophet Muhammad is a model. He is at his time and up till today our moderator.
No.
He is from his time up till today our mentor and monitor.
True.
So and we want to be like him. So a lot of us are just like the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but we are not Holy Prophet Muhammad.
Indeed.
So we just want to be like him. So the parent, it starts from the parent. The parent should tell the word, this is the person I want you to look like.
Mm.
Then the parents must be ready to tell that these are the exemplary traits of the person I want you to emulate, to follow.
Yes.
So the second one is, if that person is available, let your child be going there to take lessons of how to deal with life from the person.
I'm going to cut in now because I need to pay some bills when we come back. So, you know, I like where you've stopped. It's an advice to parents to find a mentor, a model for their children to follow. We'll go on a break and we'll come back after paying all these bills. There's more to come on the show. Stay with us.
Yes, Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Whole flaked cornflakes are made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn for whole nutrition, whole taste, and whole crunchiness for the whole family. So next time you're eating cornflakes, make sure it's whole flaked Nasco cornflakes. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Every Day Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Every Day Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Every Day Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
A market for markets. Economic showcase of Nigeria's backbones. SME Mart will celebrate innovations of small and medium-sized entrepreneurs. The huge role you play in Nigeria's economy. We celebrate the gains, we learn from the losses, we identify the risks, and we explore the Nigerian ventures. SME Mart, your radio business hub. Mondays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7.
Oh yes, Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Whole flaked cornflakes are made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn for whole nutrition, whole taste, and whole crunchiness for the whole family. So next time you're eating cornflakes, make sure it's whole flaked Nasco cornflakes. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
The stories are real.
Something like this happened to me years back. I saw some message in his phone. He did that send the message to him. When I knew him, I said, "Come, why are you like this? Why are you doing all this?"
It's all around you.
And when she comes up to you to tell you her said doing this, you should be humble enough to listen. And if there's something you can do about that, you do it. Is it reading books? Is it seeing a therapist? Be open to certain things, because at the end of the day, this person is your partner. That is the bottom line of everything.
My family advised him to marry the girl he has submitted. We forced him, but he refused.
So when the girl starts telling that, you call her too much, then there's something fishy.
You want to share it? Let people see. You're not alone. Break the silence culture. Adult conversations. Weeknights from 8 on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Oh yes, Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Whole flaked cornflakes are made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn for whole nutrition, whole taste, and whole crunchiness for the whole family. So next time you're eating cornflakes, make sure it's whole flaked Nasco cornflakes. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stay with me.
Welcome back to the Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. We are still discussing religion and extremism. Our phone lines are open for calls. If you want to be a part of this show, 07-00-917-917 is the number to call. For WhatsApp and SMS, the number is 07-0317-565-37. Sheikh Adagba, the U.S. Institute of Peace commissioned a study in 2013 by the Clean Foundation in Nigeria to examine the factors contributing to youth radicalization and recruitment into armed groups. The study found that ignorance to religious teachings opposed to violence makes youth more susceptible and vulnerable to recruitment. What roles can Muslim scholars and Islamic groups play to make authentic teachings of Islam more available to a larger number of our youth?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I was in New York. I was in Boston in 2013 when they came to Nigeria. And I was in the PCP, that was the Public Conversation Project. And that project was targeted at youth. How do we get them? Mr. David, who is a vice to the U.S. Whatever here, was the one that handled the whole thing. And I asked a question. If after every war there's going to be a dialogue, why not the dialogue?
Before the war.
And that question was never answered. In fact, I have to leave early so as to come to Nigeria to attend to some other things. Now, what do I want to say here? Well, later, when we were in Nigeria, I had to speak with the ambassador of the U.S., and told him that the only way we can get these guys around is to play what is the real Islam. The real Islam. The real Islam is the moderate Islam. Because Allah said categorically and emphatically in the Quran, this is a nation in moderation.
Sure.
So it doesn't, not to the far east or not to the far west. So not the left wing or not the
right wing.
Right wing. You should middle just course. Be moderate. You have a middle course. And we agreed with the... That was the third ambassador to this time. Now the third one before this one. We agreed that there's going to be a transistor radio where we have... Because it is easy to carry a transistor radio even with a phone, where you have to listen to Islamic teachings, even if it is just 5 minutes. The radio will turn it on automatically, and then we'll be listening. So when you're listening, you now know exactly what Islam is, because not all those that were radicalized want to be terrorists. And not those that were radicalized want to be extremists. A lot of them want to practice the religion, but the way they were, it was
That's handed was
down
handed
to them, was the way they were taking it. And they found out at the end of the day, whoa, where is this leading us to? So radicalization has two formats. The first format is the hot radicalization, and the second one is cold radicalization. Cold radicalization is enhancing every soul, every ideology with the knowledge it deserves. And hot radicalization is telling somebody that this is what you should do to this. Don't let anybody direct you. When it comes into fundamentals, when it comes into principles, your principles must be guided by your thoughts. But if your thoughts are the negative thoughts, then definitely you are going nowhere. So it has to be positive. But you cannot understand anything. That is the essence of science. And the essence of science is to be logical. The essence of logic is to be natural. And the essence of naturality is to be God.
Sure.
So, if we can teach these people through the knowledge, enhancing their ability to understand the terrain in which they live, then you will find no wahala at all, no qualms at all amongst all religions. Let me give you this example. This heavenly world propagation of light in South Korea, I was invited in 2015. I'm their publicity ambassador now because of what we've done. When we were in Korea, then they don't have up to 7% Muslims. But after today in Korea, they have almost 42% Muslims. So what did we do? I was even given an award. I was told to come and submit some papers in 2018 before the COVID in 2019, 2020. So, you see, what do? We only showed them that we are ambassadors of Islam and we should be extra tolerant. Why should we be extra tolerant? Because what everybody has been fed about Islam is negativity. And it is not true. And those who did it knew very well that it is not true. So, but now, to tell them we are going to be attacked first, and we should just imbibe the spirit of that verse in the Holy Quran that says, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا إِلَىٰ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Don't revile the Lord of what they worship aside God. Don't revile it. Leave them. Because if you revile it, they will revile your God that is tangible to you out of ignorance. So we know quite all right. And every secret alim, every scholar knows that the only problem we have is ignorance. Some people are knowledgeable people, but they are still ignorant of the understanding of that knowledge, which I referred to earlier. So our problem with how to work with this youth is three.
Okay.
Number one, in any country where you have a national orientation agency, the national orientation agency should not be bringing the result while playing it on TV, radio, or whatever. They should be keeping the fundamentals of what result that will come. They may think they have a result, but that result may apply to the north and not apply to the south. That result may apply to the west and not apply to the east. But the fundamental of every action is the same all over the world. So if the fundamentals are treated, people will now say, oh, if I do it this way, definitely it's going to end this way. So if I do it this way, so if the fundamentals are our thoughts, then there will be no problem looking for the results. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, the idea of catching them young is a very good idea of making a nation great. If you catch them young, while they were growing, and you introduce to them what you want them to do when they grow up, and let them imbibe the spirit of what their actions right from that age, while they grow up, it's not going to be a new or difficult thing for them to do. It has become
seamless.
It is seamless and part of their system.
True.
And so they won't have any problem practicing what they know how to do this.
Mm.
Number three is guiding the guided. Or guiding the assumed guided.
Hmm.
A lot of guides are not guided. A lot of teachers are not learned. We call them teachers. Their ability to speak English does not portray the ability to transmit same. So if you can speak English, do you understand the words in English when they change from one format to the other?
Hmm.
I've given you three now. I've been giving you radicalization. I've given you extremism. I've given you terrorism. So, but it's randomly used by the press.
Indeed. In fact, usually interchangeably used.
And they are not the same thing. So somebody will just come, and I want to tell you that 90% of people out there assume radicalism and terrorism and extremism to be the same. No. So, you see, the guides, I mean the teachers now, must be guided too. They must be somewhere they will be retrained.
Mm.
You see, we have a mistake in education. All we want is the paper.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I have bachelor's.
Certified.
I have certified papers. But certification is
not qualified. Yes.
So qualification is when you go for capacity development.
Mm-hmm.
In capacity development, they give you the fundamentals and they leave you to get the results yourself.
Mm.
But in qualification that you get in the school, they don't give you the fundamentals. They just give you the results and they expect you to work with the results, not knowing the fundamentals.
Mm.
So it's like any dream you have must first, any structure that comes must first come in a dream. So our life and living is just like that of an architecture who goes in there and said, I want to build this house. Oh yeah, give me a house that has this future. You give him the future, he translates it to his dream. From his dreams, he brings that to a picture, and a picture, he stages it, and you are looking at 3D. You are even seeing your house before it has been built.
Mm.
And when it is, we are building it, you will be seeing the structure, and you will be happy to see the structure. So in our own case, we are only shouting, we don't want extremism. We are only shouting, we don't want extremism. We are only shouting, we don't want terrorism or radicalism. But we are not giving a structure that is not going to happen.
Allow it happen.
Because we have already politicized those the youth that we are talking about. So if we politicize them and bring them to a divide, when we bring them to a divide, some will say, oh, you are a Christian, you are not a Muslim, forgetting that the Quran, the four books, the four divine books, the Quran, the Psalms,
the
Old Testament, the New Testament, which is Gospel, the Torah, which is the Old Testament, the Psalms, which was given to David, and the Quran, which was given to Muhammad, only came to contemplate, to complement one another.
No.
They are not to come in comparison.
No.
So the idea of comparing them,
no,
then that's where we have the problem. And who are those ones that foment the problem most? It is the men of God.
Mm.
In both divide.
True.
In Islam, the men of God will say, no, a Christian will go to hellfire. Are you the owner?
Mm.
In Christianity, they will say the Muslim man will go to hellfire. Is he the owner of the hellfire?
Mm.
So will it even be his pride and his joy to see the Muslim guy in hellfire? Will it be the same pride and his joy to see the Christian guy in hellfire? Everybody is aiming God. But why do we aim God in a different way? It's because we fail to understand the principles of creation, which is of the first religion, and that first religion is humanity.
Mm.
Only to realign with humanity is where we have Islam and Christianity.
Mm. Imam, I warned our listeners that you are going to be schooled today. And I'm sure on that part. Second, before you ask, allow me, please. So a lot of times when I hear people talk about suicide bombing and all of that, and my question is to them, how come the one who is teaching you suicide bombing
it
beats
you? You should go and die first.
You've got to show me how to do it. I don't have a clue.
There is another very silent and salient point we should take consider.
Yeah.
It's poverty.
Mm.
Poverty now is about materialism, not poverty of intellectualism. Poverty of materialism. So if a parent, I don't want to use a bad word here, a stupid parent will be told that give us a child to go and kill some people. While you don't have a child again, we'll give you money.
Oh.
How do you measure life with wealth?
Oh.
So this is why the Quran said, if you kill a soul,
just kill the entire humanity.
You have killed the entire, you have wiped the entire humanity off the surface of the earth. So therefore, you can now reason along in three ways. The first way is, where do we sin to God? Directly. That is very crucial. Everybody should learn this. Where do you sin to God directly? You sin to God directly just in one format.
Okay.
And no Muslim sins to God in that format. Yes. Even no Christian sins to God in that format. Except they are not careful. How do you sin to God? Just one sin to God, no other sin. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi.
Yes, don't.
Allah will not forgive you if you find an associate with him.
Sure.
So, aside that, you don't have any other sin.
Anything else is forgivable.
It's forgivable.
No.
But how do you now sin to God again in other aspects? You have two ways. Either you sin to yourself, and from yourself you sin to God. Or you sin to other person, and from that other person you sin to God. So all other things, all other injunctions in the Quran has to do with the other person and yourself.
Oh.
And if you can, that is the understanding of mu'amala, welfareism in fiqh. That the moment you understand that the other person is you and you are the other person, there will be no extremism. You can see that now. So poverty in that aspect should be measured with wealth. And where is your wealth? Your wealth is the other with the other human being.
Mm.
Your eyes does not belong to you, but you don't know.
Mm.
Your eye belongs to me as you're looking at me. My eye belongs to you because I can use my hand to look at myself from A to 2. Then you can do, which I can do for you too.
Sure.
Your hand does not belong to you because I can't shake myself and enjoy it until I shake you, which will be a good format. So even your being a man is not useful to you until you have a wife. Your being a woman is not useful to you until you have a man for you to procreate. So you should now consider the life of the other person first before yourself. You can see the principles of voyeurism. So this is what we need to teach. All those that are teaching should be taken to a place. I always advocate that in a country like Saudi Arabia, what did they do to make sure that their youth are not radicalized? Do you know what they did?
No.
Very simple.
Okay.
They just made the youth understand that there is a ministry that looks over the affairs of the mosque. So no imam can come there and radicalize them.
Okay.
The moment they do, the government knows, the government will just take him out and put another person. So it stops where it starts.
Mm.
And it doesn't...
It's nipped in the bud.
It's nipped in the bud. So this is what we should do here. Oh, they said, no, the government will guard the people. They won't say the truth. No, that's a different approach entirely to either saying the truth or either radicalizing the Ummah,
right,
which is not what we want.
So how do they safeguard them against guest speakers, either on radio, social media, and the...
No, you see, as you are now, you are under some laws. You cannot do anything you like.
Uh-huh.
You must do some things. So from safeguard on the radio, they cannot say something because you have to watch what they say.
Censored.
Before it goes out. So they are censored.
Yes.
So look at what is happening to Arise now. The NBC gave Arise a warning that this will be the last warning for you. Don't allow anybody to come and use foul languages on your screen. And they will stop it. So they have taken care of that. And I'm coming here. You gave me a topic. Anybody going to talk there will be given a topic known by somebody in the radio station.
Sure.
So I cannot just come here and start dishing out things that are not equal to what you gave me, and you just find a way and manners to silence me.
Sure.
So the same thing. So in every radio station, in every television station, there must be a department of religions where people will be taken accountable. They will be made accountable for whatever they are going to present on the screen. So that television station or the radio station is not going to be saying something aloof of what they should say.
Indeed. I think you have another question for me.
Yes. The challenge for the mainstream majority in any religion is that they are quite devotion. is less obvious than the loud noise, hunger and eagerness of the extremists. What more can the vast majority of faith practitioners do? Those who truly represent the teachings and values of the faith to be more representative of their religion.
One, they should know what they are going to do in the house of God. I'm going to the house of God. You see, when you say religion, aside from the pillars of religion, there are aspects of religion. The aspects of religion is five. One, thanksgiving. Everybody will say Alhamdulillah. You can say it in English, you can say it in Arabic, you can say it in any language. So if you say that, or you don't say it, if you say it, you'll be rewarded. If you don't say it, you are not going to be penalized. Then glorification. That's the second aspect of religion. You glorify Allah subhanallah. Well, many things, Allahu Akbar. This is glorification. If you glorify Allah, you are rewarded.
Sure.
If you don't glorify Allah, you're not punished. Number three is supplication. In Islam, if you don't supplicate, Allah says to Holy Prophet Muhammad, the one of the Prophet, that if you guys will not be supplicating to me and I will be giving you what you desire, what you requested for, I'll wipe all of you off the surface of the earth. And then people will be supplicating to me and I'll be giving them, because all those things that I have are for,
it's
them,
for you.
Are for you.
Come on,
so supplication, you have reward. So that is about that. That's number three, which is supplication. Number four is listening to lectures. Listening to lectures. So if you don't come to lecture, you are not dying, you are not penalized, you are not punished. But if you listen to lecture, you enhance yourself.
You'll be enriched.
You'll be profitable to your society and to yourself. But there's one aspect, and that aspect is salat, worship.
Right.
That worship is not in song praising, it's not in glorification, it's not in listening to lecture, it's not in praying. So it's between that prayer, praying person, and Allah himself. So he is the one to reward it. So that is where the pillars comes in. So in that aspect, any worshipper going into the house of God, I'm not referring to Islam alone now, I'm referring to all religion, going to the house of God should know which aspect I'm going to do in the house of God. So when he's saying something that has, that antagonizes your belief, ask questions. When you are convinced, follow the person. When you are not convinced, leave the person. Because la ikra afidin, there's no compulsion in religion. The right side is glaring, and the wrong side is
glaring.
So if you decide to follow the wrong side, you know it is wrong.
No.
So when you follow the right side, then the result is right. So this is where we are. So everybody should understand the religion before you dabble into it. And this is where the parents are very, very, very essential. So if you don't understand your religion as a parent, definitely you are going to teach nonsense to that person. And you see, Nigerians are becoming aware now. When people are going into the mosque or the church, they are aware of what are the things we are going to do here. So that awareness has given them alertness. And you see a lot of people say, no, I'm not following this path again. I'm going to follow this path because this path is not giving me what I want. It's the one that is giving me what I want. So, and men of God, they are in, who are taught, let me use that word, taught to be knowledgeable, will not be fighting them. If really what they are saying is that of God, why should they push anybody to come and join them? Why should they call anybody to come and worship with them? Either you worship or you don't worship, it's your own nettle of fish. So it's not mine. So if you come, come. If you come to me, fine. If you come to another person, fine. Your worship does not give me anything. We only
sacrifice. Ideally, right?
Ideally, it doesn't give me anything. So, but if your worship, coming to my mosque or house of God to worship, gives me something materially, I'll look for every corner way to make you come and to make a lot of people come.
Of course.
So if it is to God, everybody belongs to God. Either the person is worshipping or not worshipping, the person belongs to God. Because definitely on Allah is his feeding, on Allah is his giving him air, on Allah is his giving him rain, on Allah is his giving everything, giving him.
True.
So it is he, Allah, that worships us, that provides for us.
True.
But only follow the principle of order, which is go and prostrate with the best place in your body. So that's why a Muslim is one of those sent to the world to come and destroy the worst thing in the world. You know what's in this world? Ego.
Ego.
Go and destroy it by putting your hand on the forehead on the ground. Where you used to think, where you used to get your intelligence and wisdom, where you show to everybody, hey, I've arrived. then go and put it on the ground. But before you do, make sure you do purification. Before you do, make sure you do yoga. Before you do, make sure you do your meditation. Then you now prostrate. Look at where prostration is.
The far end.
Far end in the land. In the series of worship. But you have to go and purify by performing ablution. You have to determine to do the meditation. You recite the Fatiha meditation. You recite the Surah meditation. You then go into yoga. Then you stand up. Oh, I can stand up. You say, Sami and Lord, many and then you go into that prostration. And you tell him, darling, when you are in your prostration, that, oh Allah, the Most High, I am down here. Forgive me. So you can see how simple it is. So somebody will not tell you, go and die, because if you kill a person, you are going to have you are going to hellfire to kill anybody. So just do that.
Right, thank you so much. But that spot where you ended is a golden spot to call it a date on the show today.
In fact, I'm speechless.
Right.
I really enjoyed this topic, and I'm sure our listeners too. And we hope you will come back again some other time.
If you invite me,
you
hope you come conditions. I'll give you conditions. If you invite me, I will come.
Inshallah.
We need to be realists. That's what I want to end my talk with. As Muslims, you should be a realist. Don't go about following sentiments. You talk about the youth, how are they radicalized? A lot of these youths are pseudo sentiments. Let me give you one aspect of this sentimentality. Somebody came in and said, I am an Ahlus Sunnah. I'm not attacking anybody here.
Right.
I am an Ahlus Sunnah. Why is it segregating and individually claiming a name that belongs to all?
All of us.
What are the others?
Okay.
So why is it taking some people out of the same structure?
Okay. Ahlus Sunnah just means the followers
the sunnah of the Muhammad.
So
who is not following the Sunnah?
No.
The moment the person prays, the moment the person believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Oh, in practice, it's still Ahlus Sunnah.
No.
But if he is not doing it well, correct him.
No. Don't ostracize.
So this is where we need ourselves. This is where, imagine somebody in a club or in a hijab and somebody is saying Salaamu Alaikum and is not answering. What does that mean? And the person must have read it fully that if they greet you with one type of greeting,
Fa'ahil
bi'ahsani minha,
something
better or return the same. That is to a Muslim. Now let's come to facts in moderation. A Christian now says Salaam Alaikum to you and you didn't talk. Or you tell the person Alaik al-Islam. On the day of Qiyamah, Salaam Alaikum will come and then your Alaik al-Islam will come. If they do measure, if they do not measure, if they do not compromise, if they do not, what do you call it now, compliment one another. If they do not compliment one another, that Salaam Alaikum will be deducted from your right.
Because
you are owing. You must pay. So when a non-Muslim says to you, Assalamu Alaikum, tell him Assalamu Alaikum.
Don't tell him to Allah wa barakatuh.
Yeah, but if the person says Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you should repeat same. Don't tell him Alaik al-Islam. God is not so dumb to make the person say Assalamu Alaikum. Remember the hadith of those who Prophet Muhammad sent to an escapade in a town near Medina. And when they got there, they saw somebody they knew very well in Mecca. And when he saw them, he said, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And they beheaded him. Because they feel he's an hypocrite. They felt he's an hypocrite. They now came back to Mecca and was telling the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the lectures of escapades you asked us to do, we met so and so. And when he saw us, he was saying, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And we just cut off his head. Baba said, you did what? He said, we cut off his head. He said, okay, you are on your own on the day of judgment. He said, but he said, la 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 la, out of fear. He said, what's your own concern? He has said the la 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 la. When la 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 comes on the day of judgment, you are going to account for why you have to
behead the la 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 same person.
And they now have to start doing this. The Prophet said, it's not this far. If you can get the person again, go and do the compensation for the soul that you have taken. So you can see
how
very, 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 very negligible the act is, but very, very, very weighty.
In front of Allah. Imam, we're out of time. Incidentally, we wish you could go on to
Thank you so much.
Sheikh Abdulrahman Adamgba. We are so happy to have you, and we hope you come back again.
I hope to.
So our listeners out there, we want to continue, but we have to stop here. I am Sakina Atitilayo Okono, and with me on the show today,
Amin Adams, I'll see you same time, 11 a.m. inshallah ta'ala next week. Bismillah.
Thank you.
May I let me?
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way.